Well, happy feast, happy Pentecost. Good to see you here this afternoon. Without a doubt, always fun to be a part of the choir and look at y'all's beautiful faces out there. One of the joys that I have is, you know, last year we were here and I see so many faces that I've known over the years. But one of the great joys is that I look out and I see new faces. That's tremendous. That's just really uplifting. It's a blessing that I know I'm not the only one that takes advantage of this. I'd like you to turn in your hymnals, your Bibles. Yeah, if you find this in your hymnals, I'll marvel. But anyway, Deuteronomy 29, I'd like you to go there right quick. The last verse in Deuteronomy 29. Wonderful gift that we're going to read here, just this simple little verse. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. On behalf of all the speakers, all the people that have served here today and yesterday, I want to thank you for your prayers. The prayers for the speakers. Because the prayers for these speakers have been answered. Those men that have gotten up here have given my sermon. So I'm stretching it just a little. I think I've got two scriptures in here that weren't covered. But anyway, that's great, isn't it? That's wonderful. We're on the same pages. We are a people most blessed. We are a people most blessed. Much has been given to us. Brethren, much is expected of us. We have been given the invaluable gifts of God. They can only originate from Him. He defines the purpose of all physical and spiritual matters in His universe. This aids us directly. It helps us to direct the symbolism in the eventual reality of the spiritual fulfillment of God's master plan for us individually, us collectively, and eventually all of humanity. Nobody is going to fall through the cracks. This has been expressed in so many different ways throughout the years. God working with His people. That God is so loving that He is not going to let anyone get by Him. Not going to let us. Do we understand who we are? Do we understand who we are to become? This has been addressed these past 2 days and many days before. Do we grasp the value that has been placed upon us? Do we grasp the value that has been placed upon us by the Most High Sovereign, Designer, Creator, and Ruler of the universe? You know, brethren, this has been made possible by the most precious of gifts, provided to us by God the Father through His living Son, Jesus Christ. We are a people most blessed. This supreme gift of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which was most necessary, the necessary foundational intervention by God that enables us to be into position to receive His Holy Spirit. This feast of Pentecost continues to demonstrate the unmatched generosity and hospitality of the great God whom we worship. We have been given, we've been offered, and some of us have been given and received the Holy Spirit. I deeply appreciate the emphasis this morning on you young people. The promise not only to the adults and to the moms and to the dads, but to our children. Paul elaborated on that in 1 Corinthians 7, just the simple fact that you are holy. You are holy. You are sanctified. Holy. Search deeply what that means. Search deeply what that means. We have the law of life. We have the absolute truth of God. Do we understand what God is doing with each of us individually as well as collectively? I'd like you to go to the book of Haggai. I know y'all all know where that is, just that fast. It's right before Zechariah, if that's any help. I cheated. I put my little ribbon there. So, the book of Haggai. It's a short book, but something is mentioned within these scriptures that I'm going to read. A little bit of a long read, but I want you to be patient with me, please. Haggai 1, starting in verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. In the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. On the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. We continue to read in the second chapter. In the seventh month of the 21st of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? How do you see it now in comparison with it? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? As I understand, they're talking about Solomon's temple. And they've come back to rebuild. And they've been working on it. Yet now the strong, be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, continuing in verse 4. And be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, Once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. That is a prophecy that I just read. The latter temple of God. The title of this message is Pentecost, the gold and the silver of God. The specific purpose of this message is to encourage and to exhort us to zealously acquire the gold and silver of God that He wants us to be enriched by and using to build the temple of God, which we are. You are the temple of God. Welcome to one of the construction sites of the building of God's temple. This is a construction site. In Haggai, he said that we weren't going to need hard hats here. We dwell together in peace, right? This is a wonderful construction site. Welcome to the mystery of the ages. It's a miracle going on in here. You ever thought of that? Of course you have. It is a miracle. It's good to be here. Throughout the years of this modern age of mankind, the Church of God has expressed much about the temple of God. I suppose that within the Church of God, Solomon's temple has been spoken about as much as Herod's, maybe even into the future, talking about the temple of God. Haggai, as we just read, and other prophets speak much about the restored temple by the Jews upon their release from Babylon. Herod's temple was in place during the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. It did not have an elaborate dedication ceremony as Solomon had with the temple that he and his father helped design, put together, ultimately build. God told David he couldn't do it for very special reasons. It was left into the hands of Solomon. But Christ still recognized Herod's temple. He called it his father's house. There was worship going on there. And we can talk and talk and talk many, many different sermon messages about what occurred when David went into that house. When Jesus did. In general, the religious, academic, and the archaeological world focuses upon Herod's temple. Brethren, when I was in elementary school, in the previous millennia. Try not to think about that too much. But anyway, it's good to be alive, right? My grandmother gave me this magnificent book. It was called The Book of Marvels. And it was not the cartoon characters, okay? But it was a wonderful book that comprised just hundreds of different incredible locations of mankind, societies, and cultures about the world. Their creative endeavors, and they were recognized upon the earth. You may remember, well, of course, everybody knows about the Great Wall of China. It was in that book. The Seven Wonders of the Ancient World, they were in that book. The pagan sacrificial sites of the Aztecs and the Incas literally were glorified in that book. It was an incredible book to read. But you know, as I got older and older and older and older, all of a sudden I realized there was something not in that book that I thought should have been in that book. And it was Solomon's temple. You know, I got on one of the websites just to remind myself of what that temple looked like, the artist's rendering. And indeed, I know a number of you know this. It was magnificent. It was just so beautiful. It took a number of years to build and a lot of workers. A lot of workers. The website that I went to doubted the existence of Solomon's temple. I thought that was amazing. And then it just dawned on me, well, duh, Ralph. They don't believe Holy Scripture. Okay? It's God's truth, right? God's truth. He said it existed. The Bible confirms that Solomon's temple was the most beautiful and magnificent building that had ever been upon the earth. And you can review this in the book of Chronicles and Kings and go into detail of how it was planned. I mentioned earlier. Well, let's see, in 2 Chronicles 9, it elaborates on the Queen of Sheba came to see it. And after Solomon took her all the way through and showed her this and showed her that and answered her questions and all of the above, she elaborates that, listen, everything I was told, it was just half of the reality and the truth of what God has done for you and your people. She was stunned. She was stunned. And I think that's kind of neat. You know, even Jesus Christ made a comment. He didn't refer to her as the Queen of Sheba. He referred to her as the Queen of the South. So, you know, Jesus Christ testified of her coming to Solomon and finding out some amazing things. So, don't ever let anybody tell you Solomon's temple did not exist. It did. Brethren, it was so magnificent that initially King David took from the national treasury 100,000 talents of gold. Brethren, that's 350 tons of gold. He took 1 million talents of silver. It's just stunning. In addition to this, David also took out of his own treasure another 3,000 talents of gold and another 7,000 talents of silver. And even when the Queen of Sheba came and saw everything, she gave Solomon a whole bunch more stuff. I mean, it was just incredible how wealthy and how glorious and how beautiful this temple was. And brethren, when you stop and think of what Haggai said, that the temple that is going to be built in the future, of which you are, is going to be more glorious than Solomon's. How beautiful are you? Are you becoming the gold and the silver and the precious stones of God? Work in progress, right? Indeed. Indeed. That's why I asked you if you understood your value. Passover was a little over 50 days ago. And every Passover, we deeply, deeply examine ourselves. Am I different than the Passover before? I hope I am. I hope I am. God loves me so much, He makes me aware. If I'm not, He's so gentle and comforting, He lets me know that I am different. Praise the great God who gives us everything. You know, brethren, for years I did not understand why the temple had not been included in the Book of Marvels. I just didn't understand. And why or what was it about this temple that some doubted its existence? I think I found a reason. I'd like you to go to 2 Chronicles 7. This is a beautiful and wonderful section of beautiful scripture where God was and Solomon had a wonderful relationship. 2 Chronicles 7, starting in verse 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord in the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, continuing in verse 12, and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. And then this beautiful prayer that we know about, have it memorized probably many of us. Verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I commanded you, if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as ruler over Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods, worshiped them, served them. Therefore he was brought all this calamity upon them. Brethren, this is one of the most important lessons for us to have written upon our hearts. God did this to physical Israel because they abandoned him. We as spiritual Israel, the Israel of God, we have been given. We have been given. Excuse me. The greatest gift. Cherish it. Die for it. I'd like you to go to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3. Sometimes I get a little emotional. I apologize. It's just great what we have. Earlier I asked, do we know who we are? 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 16. Here's the answer. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which you are. Does that send a chill up your spine? How serious is this? Is there anything more serious than what we are engaged in this precious life? We have been offered and given the greatest gift that a human being can be involved in. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son that we not perish. He gave his Son. He watched him die. Before he died, he watched him suffer horribly. And he didn't intervene. They had to go through it. Brethren, the Church of God is involved in the greatest and most important construction in the history of humanity. The world and its religions do not know this. Just like they don't know about Solomon's temple, or don't care, they don't know about you. They don't know about us. They just think we're just another group. Some of them call us a cult. They don't know what God is doing with each and every one of you individually and collectively. They don't know. And they don't care. And if you've ever been approached because someone doesn't like what you're doing or what you're saying, and you try to explain, you'll see those eyes go glassy. Or they'll interrupt you and tell you that you've lost your mind. Or they can't get away from you fast enough. The true church of God is not recognized by the world as God recognizes us. God looks upon us as holy. We are His precious children. He commands us to be children of light because He's the God of light. Every precious gift comes down from the God of the light, God our Father. Every precious gift, brethren. Everything. Throughout each day, hundreds of times, thank God for everything that He has done for us. The planet in which we live upon is for us. It's for all of humanity, without a doubt. But we're here. God and His Son designed it. Continuing in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul elaborates on the building of the spiritual holy temple of God. Let's go back up to verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 3. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. It will be revealed by fire. Brethren, we will be tested. In whatever level of character you are developing, the fire will prove it. The fire will prove it. And the fire will test each one's work of which sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so through fire. We're going to be tested. We're going to be proven. We're going to be proven. And of course, go to Ephesians 2, you know, in your notes, and for the elaboration of the foundation that we are being built upon. The apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. That is the foundation we are based our lives on. You will notice that God allows us the freedom of choice. We can choose gold, silver, precious stones, or things that get built up, burned up, I mean. He's given us the freedom to choose that. What's in your life? Can you mix the carnal with the spiritual? We've heard a number of sermons over the past couple of days about living in the Spirit. Well, if you're like Ralph Redline, you struggle with occasionally sliding into the carnal. I like action-packed movies. I'm kind of a movie guy. And there are certain movies that it took my precious wife. I mean, wake up, McFly. Ralph, how come you like those kind of movies? How come you like those westerns? Shane. Favorite Western. It's violent. So I'm making adjustments in my life because the precious gift God has given to me says, honey, it's carnal. I got to change that mind by the power of God's Holy Spirit within me, His Son living within me. I've got to take that straw and replace it with gold. He wants us to become like Him. The true God that we worship is wanting us to use the most valuable resources available from His storehouse. Remember what God said to the Laodicean church? I'll just read this. It's in Revelation 3. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. God is offering us His gold. God is offering us His silver, His precious stones. They're not the gold and the silver and the precious stones of this world. They're not. You can flash back on that magnificent, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and the huge statue that was broken down into four different metals. At the end there, all of that is ground to dust. And his head was gold. Mankind's gold. It's valueless to God. He wants us to have His gold. The first gift of gold that God offers to us is His personal invitation. As many of y'all may remember, yesterday was another royal wedding. Can you imagine in your mind what that invitation looked like? It doesn't hold a candle to the invitation of God to become one of His children. That is one of the very, very first pieces of gold that God offers to you. His invitation. Brethren, you are here and it's not by accident. It's not by accident. You are here. 1 Corinthians 2, please. You're still in the book of 1 Corinthians 3, so we're just going to go right over to 1 Corinthians 2. Starting in verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared to those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Don't ever forget Deuteronomy 29:29. God is opening our minds, making us aware of why we live, what our incredible purpose is. Within this explanation of these scriptures, brethren, is the plain fact that the knowledge of God, the absolute truth that is His holy canonized scripture, and its understanding comes directly from His treasury. This is pure gold, pure silver, and pure precious stones. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We captivate every thought to obedience to Jesus Christ, to become like them. The treasury is immense. It's filled with gold and silver and precious, precious stones. John 4 was talked about earlier today. When Christ is talking to that young lady from Samaria, God is looking for people to worship Him. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can't mix the carnal with the spiritual. You cannot do it. You can't do it. Another measure of gold and silver and precious stones that's being given to us is godly repentance. It's not the repentance of mankind. It's godly repentance. In your notes, you can put Romans 2, verse 4. It's a memory scripture. Do you not despise the riches of his goodness? The riches of his goodness? Forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. God leads you to repentance. This is godly directed repentance. 2 Corinthians 7. Join me over there because there's a beautiful, beautiful exhortation, praise coming directly from the mouth of Paul, inspired by God, about godly repentance. Paul goes into great detail describing the highest level of repentance that the Corinthian church engaged in. They had received a scathing letter. As you well know in 1 Corinthians, they had problems. And Paul let them have it. But his motivation was pure love. They repented. And look at what Paul has to say about it. Starting in verse 6 of chapter 7, 2 Corinthians. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you, when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, for I received that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a little while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorry led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you. What clearing of yourselves. What indignation. What fear. What vehement desire. What zeal. What vindication. In all things you proved yourself to be clear in this matter. Praise God for this precious congregation. And how they changed. They knew what they had to do. They took that gold and they owned it. They owned it. This is the same repentance that was known on the day of Pentecost in 31 AD. Touched on earlier this morning. You remember what they said. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. This was after Peter addressing them very boldly about what was going on and what they had done, what they were guilty of. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Hey, they were zealous. They knew they were guilty. They accepted it. God, through Peter, offered them gold, and they grabbed it. They grabbed it. The brethren in Corinth, Jerusalem, responded appropriately, and they responded very wisely. They heard and saw what God was offering to them. Do you see? Do you know? Do you believe? Do you live what God is offering to you? Only you can answer that question. I've got a pretty good idea that I know the answer. I know a lot of y'all. I know a lot of y'all very intimately. I'm looking forward to knowing you more intimately. Within the credible mercy and guidance of God, Christ directed the Laodiceans to anoint their eyes. He loved them so much that they might see. You know, brethren, we don't have time to go there, but review in Matthew 19, there's a very, very, very interesting confrontation between a young man and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, in his own magnificent, unique way, introduced to this young man who his true gods were. And Jesus Christ told him what to do with those gods. Get rid of them. Give the stuff to the poor and you follow me. And he didn't do it. The young man didn't do it. He didn't repent. He went away sorrowful. Great tragedy, brethren. Great tragedy. God is calling you. If you have not yet received or counseled, started counseling for baptism, you young people, the calling of the great God is extended towards you. It is extended towards you. You folks that are here for the first time this weekend, praise, praise, praise God. You're not here by accident. Run with it. You're being offered the treasury of the great, almighty, most high, creator, God. It's amazing. Brethren, let's mark this day. It's the first day of the rest of your life. It's a day you have never lived before. It's a day you shall never live again. Mark this day. Keep it in your life, in your mind. Choose eternity. Brethren, as we come to a conclusion, you know this conversation can go on and on and on and on. The treasuries of God are eternal. You remember what David said in Psalm 139? He said, the thoughts of God for him are numbered as the sands of the sea. That's incredible. That's a lot of thoughts. And they're all wonderful and good. He's got those same thoughts for you. He wants you. He wants you to be his temple. The final directions that I just want to direct you to, let's go to 2 Peter. Another one of the scriptures that was used earlier this weekend, but that's all right, right? 2 Peter, starting in verse 1 of chapter 1. Because we're going to cover some beautiful, magnificent demonstrations and examples of the gold and the silver and the precious stones of God. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, go to the treasuries of God. I put that in there. Go to the treasuries of God, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Brethren, that's the faith of Jesus Christ. It's being given to you. Pure gold. Virtue to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control, temperance. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right? It's what you want? You bet it is. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. There is the treasury of God. There is the recipe for success. God is offering you everything. Everything. We have no reason to fail. As we surrender to our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, may the great and awesome God that we sang about earlier bless your construction. Bless your construction. Help each other construct. Y'all are holy. You love each other. Right? Love each other as God loves you. Help each other. Help each other. To become the glorious temple of God. He desires it. He desires it. He and his Son. To be individually and collectively convicted to becoming the temple of the great and most high Almighty God. May God bless your work.